Hello. Welcome to Infield Chatter After Dark.
I say after dark because looking out my window, it's late enough in the summer that at 8:15 p.m. on Friday, August 21st, 2015, it is actually dark outside. Oh, yeah.
I'm talking in this voice because it implies some sensuality, but still kind of safe.
On the other hand, you have to be careful not to go too far, because if you go down a little bit more and, oh, yeah, then you might hit the Kool-Aid Man spots.
Our safe word is Heath Bell.
That feels very unsafe, actually, but...
it lets you know that you feel like you're in danger.
That the save of whatever this is about to be blown.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm with the same two other people. If you don't know who they are at this point, on the top of this post, there's a little box in grid that says Infield Chatter. If you click on that, you can see every episode. Every episode post from the beginning. So it's kind of like a, you know, dollar store iTunes.
Can I look it up on iTunes?
I don't know. Can you look it up on iTunes, Devin?
No. I have short-term memory issues. I apologize.
How are we going to get an Audible.com sponsorship if we're not on iTunes?
I don't know. We'll work it out somehow. Audible, just give us books.
Yeah. We're going to get stuck with, like, some Audible knockoff, like Muffled.com.
Muffled.
DifficultToHear.com. The books you love. Not quite the way you... What? No, hold on. Is there a volume on this?
SpeakUpStopMumbling.com.
And now here's Anna Karenina, read by Bob Dylan using his singing voice.
I personally, I was a really big fan of Mushmouth's Tale of Two Cities.
Anyway, again,
here's Infinite Jest, read by Kurt Gitson.
Oof. So anyway, we're off at standing this week.
Because I just want to go with Moby Dick as read by that one guy from King of the Hill.
Recall, Comrade Ishmael, the boat and the whale and the Boomhauer. That's who you're thinking of.
Boomhauer.
Yeah. Sorry, excuse me. Because sometimes I have to clear my throat. What, you got to fight about it?
Yeah, I could.
You could, but are you?
No, probably not.
Good. Anyway, where were we? This is a podcast about the Arizona Diamondbacks, ostensibly. The Arizona Diamondbacks are kind of playing at the Schneid right now. Like I said, as of the time of recording, they just took the first two from the Reds in various fashion on yesterday night, coming back from a 5-0 deficit, I should say. And then tonight, winning 6-3.
Yesterday was a 4-0 deficit.
Well, goddammit!
Hey, I only know that because I had to do the recap. And I actually remember some details because the Wild Turkey has not set in yet.
Yet. The Wild Turkey, of course, being, so sweet at some points. Yeah. I haven't even started drinking yet.
You're drunk on pizza.
Yeah, I'm drunk on pizza. Devin's drunk on low volume. And
it's like really watered down Manischewitz.
Boost up on Ruppel Mitts. I'm going to go out into the wilderness and spray shotgun bullets everywhere. Because I live in Arizona, and that's the thing we do.
It is.
But anyway, the Diamondbacks, again, the specifics of how things are happening are kind of like, you can get into this sort of pedantry of like, oh no, Paul Goldschmidt's in a mini slump. Whatever we're going to do, let's hoard all our canned goods for when the mutants come. But just with the baseball season, there's just so many peaks and valleys and other metaphors that, I don't know, I can't get too riled up about anything right now. Also because I'm emotionally dead inside from a lifetime of terrible experiences.
But anyway,
ha ha, this is,
It's kind of hard for me to get too worked up about Paul Goldschmidt. I mean, yes, I would like him to hit home runs. I mean, I would like him to mash some dingers.
See, Paul Goldschmidt, we want Paul Goldschmidt to hit home runs, but he has to want to hit home runs.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I feel like, we've said this multiple times in previous episodes, because we didn't, at least the people that are in this podcast, because we didn't have really high expectations, it just kind of feels like, oh, this feels kind of good. You know, there are a couple hovering around the 500 mark, and that feels okay.
I've only stepped on two shards of broken glass and cigarette butts barefoot. You know, this is nice.
Yeah. This is good.
Man. I haven't been stabbed. This day's not bad.
Yeah. I'm wearing a suit of meat in the zoo, and I haven't been attacked by hyenas yet. This is great.
Unfortunately, you do have all the paparazzi following you around thinking you're Lady Gaga. So.
Yeah.
Well, you know, look at a picture of Lady Gaga, look at a picture of me. It's, you know, separated birth, am I right?
Yeah.
I never have seen you in the same room as Lady Gaga.
Neither. I've never seen you in the same room as Lady Gaga.
What are you talking about? Lady Gaga and I used to have that sitcom.
Oh, what was it called? Gaga for something? I don't remember the last word. Yeah, it was very short-lived on the CW.
It was on it was actually, it wasn't even the CW. It was the WB, even after the WB had been dissolved.
Yeah. Yeah, it had a bad time slot. It was like, what... Tuesday nights at 12:30.
Yeah, but only during certain phases of the moon.
Yeah, waxing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of waxing, this is a baseball but non-Diamondbacks thing that happened today that I really want to laugh about because it involves a team that I think is universally reviled by this panel and by most of the people listening to this podcast, I would imagine.
And I would say by most right-thinking people in the world.
Yes. The Dodgers got no hit by the Astros tonight, Friday night, by Mike Fiers, which, you know, that's a good last name for puns and stuff. So,
yeah.
I guess we can look at the Dodgers and say, like, oh, burn!
Yep. Mm-hmm. Or Milwaukee can look at the box score and say, well, we didn't start the fires.
Oh, good one, good one. To Astros fan, that certainly is an unforgettable Fires.
Yeah.
Crickets, yeah.
Sorry, I had it on mute.
Oh, God. See, I make an 80s song pun, it's fine. Fluffo starts, ooh, gotta mute it.
Well, you know, I try and keep it on mute in case I say stupid things.
You're muted yourself.
Oh. Yeah.
Wait a minute. We're supposed to mute ourselves so we don't say stupid things because...
Well, yeah. I mean, if I'm not going to be talking for a little while, a lot of times I'll mute it. So that way I'll give you guys a chance to talk and then I won't talk over you because that's one of my huge pet peeves about podcasts.
Okay. Well, I guess you're just being polite then.
Fine. I'm trying to be polite.
Whatever.
What if you stop being polite and start being real?
Oh.
Whoa. Which season of The Real World would the Diamondbacks be?
The one with the thing, and then there's the weird drama, and then...
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that one.
Oh.
I would say... Oh, I don't know which one would they be. Maybe Real World San Francisco?
Which one? Because I think I've been there a couple times.
Well, like the early one.
Oh, the first one?
Yeah.
That one's super depressing, though. It was good, but it was depressing.
The Real World in itself is kind of depressing.
It was pretty good, up to a certain point. For me, I think the last good season was Hawaii. New Orleans was okay, but Hawaii was probably the last good one.
Oh, I'm sorry. I blacked out for a second. You were talking about something outside my frame of reference that I...
Am I the only one who cares about The Real World?
Yes, you are.
Get your road rules shit out of here, Liz. Don't give that pouty face.
Even though...
Get that road rule shit out of here. Might be my favorite thing ever said on this podcast.
I'm just amazed that there's apparently been 30 seasons of The Real World.
Now that I can believe.
I think they've doubled up a couple years because it definitely has not been on for 30 years.
Well, yeah, obviously.
But it's been on for 23.
It's right.
1992. The Real World could legally get drunk enough to watch The Real World.
I don't know. BAC levels, there's a certain point where it would kill you.
Yeah, depending on which season you're watching. San Francisco was season 3. So, fun fact.
Yeah. Don't say you...
What the hell? Season 30 is skeletons? What the heck does that mean?
Wait, I don't know, but I'm now more interested.
What?
Like the abomination of walking on dead type of things?
Oh, boo. This is stupid. It's set in Chicago, but the reason why it's called Skeletons is each week, one cast member is faced with people from their past, a.k.a. skeletons, who they have unresolved issues with. Mm-hmm. Boo.
I'm disappointed, and I feel that we need a real-world Skeletons that is centered around undead creatures.
Yeah.
I feel like it's the spoopy side of Tumblr's time to shine.
Yeah, seriously. I feel like at the end of every episode, the skeletons vote who has to leave the house, and they walk out onto the front lawn, and a high-level cleric will dispel the magic anime.
That's
the real world.
Do you need to be a high-level cleric to dispel a skeleton, though? They're pretty low-level.
You get turned undead pretty early.
Well, you get turned undead early on, but at early levels of
dead,
just like forcing them to flee, you have to be higher level to, like, I think you have to have twice as many levels as hit die.
It does not take much for me to turn undead, because all they have to do is subtweet me, and then I'm like, bitch, no.
Well, then.
did I make this weird?
It's odd, but it's not uncomfortable. Anyway.
Baseball is a thing.
How many skeletons play baseball?
And that's a damn shame, because I don't know, this feels discriminatory.
I don't know, I feel like the rotting corpse of Ty Cobb wants to be out there and
Ty Cobb.
He's like the Jonathan Franzen of baseball.
Did Ty Cobb ever want to adopt a, no, Ty Cobb would never even try to adopt a brown child. in case your reference-ometer is not on par with ours, Jonathan Franzen is an author of some... Well, he exists. That's the nicest thing I'll say about him. It came out today that he apparently wanted to adopt a Iraqi child to understand how kids function these days.
Look, plenty of people try to adopt children as some sort of, like, psychological experiment, but you're not supposed to be that open about it.
Yeah. And then he was talked out of it by his editor. My general feeling on the matter is, because he's kind of a renowned troll in the sense that he hates the internet and he hates feminism, and he's just kind of, he always tries to, like, goad people. So I think there's a certain level where he's probably seeding some of these interviews with total crap things just to see people freak out about it.
I'd respect
Because that totally seems like something he would do.
But basically, to get back to the thing we're talking about, Jonathan Franzen is basically the Addison Reed of authors. Speaking of current events, this is something we kind of talked about before we started recording. Actually, technically, we had started recording. We just hadn't started. Oh, no, I'm giving you a behind-the-scenes look into our little process. Like, gasp. The fourth wall has dissolved. Whatever are we going to do? Wah, wah, wah. But we were sort of talking about... I'm going to expand this question to a very generally rather than specific to Diamondbacks because of my... But you can answer to the Diamondbacks. Which baseball player figure or sort of representative of a team, like, if that makes sense, would be most likely to be exposed in the recent Ashley Madison leak?
Well, if we expand it past the Diamondbacks, I have two players. I have two players who come to mind. Mm-hmm. One, a current player, mm-hmm. Ryan Braun.
Okay.
And then a previous player, Eric Burns, who I don't think he actually, like, signed up as any sort of... I feel like he just thought it seemed like a fun idea.
Yeah. There wasn't any, like, deception or anything. He just, like, this popped up when I was, like, looking at something. Well, why not?
Like, yeah. I feel like Eric Burns is probably the kind of person who has a lot of purchases in his basement that he made on the internet at 3:30 in the morning. And one of those is a receipt for an account to AshleyMadison.com.
Look, I have the matching pet dispensers of Jonathan Franzen and David Foster Wallace, okay? Think you have infinite chest?
Yeah. I feel like A-Rod would have signed up for an account, but then would have left pretty quickly when he couldn't find a centaur.
I would say that this is sort of a... I would say it would be something one of the more eccentric owners would have done. Trying to think, maybe like... Maybe Frank McCourt when he was still around, or like,
Yeah. Okay. Who...
I was going to say, Jeffrey Loria signed up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. Mm-hmm.
But generally just because he's trying to, like, get rid of his current wife and bring in a younger, cheaper mm-hmm. one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then once she's more successful, he'll dump her, too, for another one.
Then he's going to get a big, fancy, but... ultimately vacuous taxpayer-funded wife.
I think this analogy is kind of breaking down a bit, but...
It's those damn taxpayer-funded wives.
You gotta watch out for them.
Taxpayer-funded wives, of course, is my favorite Vampire Weekend song.
Okay, which baseball player would be most likely to be revealed... in the AddisonReed.com data dump?
You'd think Addison Reed, but that seems too easy.
Yeah, well, he's not just the president, he's a member, too.
Yeah.
Pitcher who's looking to give up more home runs.
Well, Heath Bell, obviously, since Addison Reed is basically sort of dollar store skinny Heath Bell.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Some other famous Homer Happy closers.
I feel like people try to get Byung-Hyun Kim to join, and he has to keep pointing out that he was actually a decent pitcher. It was just two big ones that he gave up.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And then he gets really angry towards the end of it when he tries to remind them, "We won that series, guys."
Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently, Addison Reed's been kind of good since he came back up for the minors, but I kind of, like, don't believe it, especially since today he pretty much almost gave up a double, bailed out by the defense, almost gave up a home run, but kept it in that part. I feel like that dam is going to break pretty soon.
Yeah.
And it's going to explode, and, like, in a sort of very, symphony of blood and guts in, like, one of those movies that Jim likes.
Yeah.
I was thinking it was going to be like the scene at the end of The Natural where the the lights are exploding, except instead of like the lights raining down, it's actually just explosions on the field because he keeps giving up hits.
Yeah. And like for some reason he just keeps, it's like, yeah, you know, we thought it's all like landmines, you know, in the base pass would burst things up, but wow, really swung and missed on that one, Rob Manfred. That was a weird laugh.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Let's take, here's a question from the game day thread, because we're at that point, and your questions this week were unbelievably earnest, which led me to think, have you, listened to this show ever? Sorry, let me find this. I'll probably cut this part out. I might, probably won't, actually, because I've gotten pretty lazy because I've been running out of time to edit podcasts, Steve. Lately.
Well, I feel like us awkwardly looking up things online is kind of our wheelhouse.
It is, in fact, one of the hallmarks of this podcast.
Featured on every episode.
The end of the season, there will be a chart. You spent 7% of your time talking about baseball and 12% of your time awkwardly looking things up online.
Jim's going to run an analysis on that and give us like this binder full of statistics and just be like, guys, you're off the force.
Turn to your badge and you're good. You're a loose cannon. And then we got to go rogue and solve this ourselves by looking things up awkwardly.
Yeah.
Just
hold on. Google montage.
Just not through any way that's like sanctioned by.
What would you say is the probability that Jim has ever listened to any of these episodes?
I would say he's probably listened to at least a couple.
Wow, that is couple more than I would have said.
But early on in the season.
Well, whenever I like post the episodes on Facebook, he usually likes it, which may just be him being polite.
Doesn't mean anything.
Like I said, it's like that just may be him being polite.
Yeah.
But you know, I appreciate question mark. Okay, here's a question from the GDT that's would actually be an interesting question for a more analytical baseball podcast, but we might have some funny answers, but we might not. Are the pitching prospects we have now better than when we had Skaggs, Parker, etc.? That's from since_98. Now, if you believe certain things, there's no such thing as a pitching prospect because those are faked. Just like the moon landing, not the one you're thinking of. And the country of Switzerland, and,
Whoa, Switzerland exists, Belgium is fictional.
Oh, sorry, yeah, I always get those two mixed up. They're kind of interchangeable in my mind.
Because one actually is real?
Well, yeah. Oh, we're kind of French, but kind of German. Wah. We have chocolate. Yeah, that doesn't sound like a real place, you're right, I apologize.
Okay. I don't know if Esther listens to these, but do not talk poorly of chocolate.
I didn't talk poorly of chocolate. I'm talking poorly of Belgium.
Yeah.
How can this place have so much good chocolate? It's fictional.
Yeah. All right. Belgium is just France's screen door.
France's screen door. But I don't know.
Pitching prospects.
It feels like, I don't know.
I feel like I kind of have to try hard right now to think of any of our pitching prospects, so I apologize that this person has the wrong view of this podcast.
Now, are we going to play ska band member or Diamondbacks pitching prospect again? Because I'm ready for that.
I mean, I will say that David Holmberg doesn't seem to be doing too great, so...
Yeah, so... his ERA got up to 6.66 today.
Wait. Are you talking about the former MTV DJ?
Yeah, he was. The Diamondbacks made a trade with them. I don't remember who they sent. They sent somebody to be a VJ and got David Holmberg back.
Huh. And they Fun put him fact.
And now he's pitching with the Reds.
Interesting.
And has
We could have held out for Tabitha Soren, is all I'm going to say.
Oh, man, if we'd gotten Tabitha Soren, that would have been life-changing.
Mm-hmm. Awkwardly Googling the podcast. I vaguely remember this person.
She's actually married to Michael Lewis, who is the author of Moneyball and The Blind Side and other things.
Huh.
So there's your vague baseball connection.
Congratulations. Way to bring it back in.
Very unintentionally, because I briefly forgot that fact.
I mean, Tyler Skaggs, isn't he out with Tommy John?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, hey, our pitchers who are still pitching, those guys seem like they're doing better than Tyler Skaggs right now.
Yeah. Kurt Loder's doing pretty good, so... Yeah. You know.
Did he come back from Tommy John?
Kurt Loder? I don't know. Yeah, I think he did.
Okay, good. I mean, because I know he was always making a lot of pitches in the newsroom.
Go straight to hell, do not pass purgatory, do not collect redemption.
At first I was hoping that you actually thought he was a pitching prospect, but that ending was better. So thank you. Thank you for that.
No problem.
Kurt Loder is 70 years old? What? Oh,
wow.
What?
Oh, and I also, I will admit, I was confusing. You were saying Tabitha Soren, I was thinking of Serena Alchul.
Well, that seems like your problem.
It does. It does seem like my problem. I apologize.
Racist. Racist against old MTV news personality / VJ / whoever.
They all look the same to me.
No. Now, who was the one who was like a wild person for no good reason? Then like was like kind of jumped. Oh, Jesse something.
Jesse.
Yeah, you know who I'm talking about. Yeah,
I have very
you're talking like, about
physical reaction, like negative physical reaction.
All I know is if you put in Jesse MTV, the second search is VJ, what happened to?
Is the Google image search just like nonstop gutters?
That guy had some hair.
Jesse Camp. Bad guy.
This is a fairly MTV-centric episode so far.
It really is.
Can we talk about Daria? Because that show was really good.
Daria. That show was amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel, yeah.
Yes.
I feel like if you look at kids of a certain age, to some degree it boils down, and like there's a crucial choice, which did they like better? And of course, when I say, I'm sorry, I shouldn't say kids, I should say suburban white kids of a certain
age. Well, yeah.
As I realized, yeah, okay, this is kind of racist. But no, I mean, to ignore everybody else. But I feel like it kind of came down, were you a kid who liked Beavis and Butthead, or were you a kid who liked Daria?
Mm.
I mean, there was some overlap, but...
Well, that's more of a generational thing, though, because Beavis and Butthead was early 90s, Daria was late 90s. Mm-hmm. So...
No, I'm actually referring to my age.
Well... Also,
I don't know.
So to me, that's more of a generational choice, where it's like, I remember Beavis and Butthead more as something that angered my parents, but I never really saw.
Yeah.
Whereas Daria was something that I actually watched because I was old enough by that point to watch.
Yeah.
Things. So sorry.
Addison Reed has gone 10 innings pitch and only given up one run since coming up from the minors. Next on Six Ad World. Yeah, that was
all right. That's it. We are never going to top that moment on this podcast.
Nope.
If you get that reference, you're one of my favorite people. If not, just torrent Daria or something, because of those honestly were some of my favorite bits. The Six Ad World bits.
Yeah. Oh, man. I should streamline some Daria this weekend.
Yeah.
Streamline?
Yeah, I don't know. You know what I mean.
Yeah.
You should mainstream them.
Yeah, I should. I should watch it with my eyes.
Okay, I just googled some random Six Head World quotes. How shoddy fertility drugs are creating a new breed of gang and wreaking havoc with police lineups. Delinquent quintuplets, next on Six Head World. But yeah, that's that show. I mean, yeah, because I because let me Google when it was out, because I vaguely remember it being, you know, around when I was in like late middle school, early high school, or even mid high school. I don't remember, but it ran from 1997 to 2002. So yeah, middle school to high school.
Yeah, middle school to high school.
So I was on the lower end of that, but it still was within like stuff I sort of understood, like about social situations there, i.e. everyone is terrible until they're not. Yes. Let's close this big shit out by doing the thing we normally do, which is look ahead to next week in Diamondbacks and make fun of the teams involved or something. And there's a theme for the Diamondbacks opponents next week. And that theme is Tony La Russa teams.
Okay, so...
fine, guess without looking at it.
Okay, so the DUI crime force and the Humane Society.
Actual Major League Baseball teams, not you know, rec league softball company kind of things.
I was gonna say going off of Tim's guesses, 7 games against McGruff the Crime Dog.
Are they playing the Wild Turkey?
The Wild Turkey? That means... no, it's the Cardinals and the Athletics.
Oh, okay. Could have been the White Sox, too, because that's where that was his first managing gig.
That's true, yeah. But I would say this is more like... the White Sox are like that first album of a band that's really famous that you know, only people who are really, really into them, like really get into and get kind of annoying about. Mm-hmm.
Okay, everybody who knows me knows that's my aesthetic. So.
Yeah, it's actually, we call it pulling a Soko.
Being super annoying about the first album of something. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean, it is kind of a swing going from St. Louis, who is good, mm-hmm. to Oakland, who is behind Seattle in the standings.
Is that not good?
That is very not good. Well, actually, you know what's interesting, though?
What is interesting?
The A's have a positive run differential.
They have a positive run differential by quite a...
No, like 7 runs.
Oh, never mind. They did have a positive run differential by quite a bit at one point.
Mm. I bet Bob Melvin's silently shaking his fist at the sky right now.
Yeah, that's a sort of like karmic balancing mm-hmm. for the 2007 Diamondbacks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting. They're all at home, which is nice. I will probably be unable to watch any of these games, so, you know, because life. The Cardinals are the best team in the National League, which, great, because they're never the best team in the National League. Nope, not there.
I kind of like it that they're really good, though, because it does amuse me how much people seem to hate on them. But they're also just far away enough that it doesn't really affect me.
I don't know, I am remembering this correctly. There hasn't been an NL team represented the World Series that hasn't been the Cardinals or the Giants in like 6 years. Which is,
it's kind of annoying, but if I had to choose between the Cardinals and the Dodgers, I'm choosing the Cardinals.
Oh, yeah, obviously. Yeah. It's like how you'd rather have gonorrhea instead of syphilis, but still.
True.
That's not a thought I've considered, but the Cardinals are one of those teams that I just dislike because of their fans.
Yeah, and
I've only ever known one Cardinals fan, and he was super nice, if kind of an idiot.
Nice, if kind of an idiot. The St. Louis Cardinals story. But that's actually a 4-game series. And for some reason the Monday night game starts at 7:10, which
that's weird.
Yeah, other than the standard 6:40 time.
Is that a nationally televised game? I'm assuming.
Maybe it's Monday night, so maybe it's an ESPN game.
Yeah,
bring in a team people care about. I guess they make you show the game on TV
or Fox Sport 1.
I'm actually Googling something because it's been a bit. I'm Googling, when were the Diamondbacks last on Sunday Night Baseball?
Podcast CSI. Google.
Enhance.
Magnify.
We are on ESPN2 on Monday.
Oh, we're on the deuce.
The deuce.
The deuce.
The deuce is loose.
Oh, God.
Too soon? Too soon?
Anyways.
Apparently, I was looking up when the last time the Diamondbacks were on Sunday Night Baseball.
Mm-hmm.
2004. But...
What?
I think... Well, may not be 2004, but there's an IMDb page for a time the Diamondbacks were on Sunday Night Baseball. And there was a credited cast. And Eric Gagne, who was for the pitcher for the Dodgers at the time, has a headshot on IMDb. This is amazing.
That's incredible.
No, seriously, I'm going to tweet this link to you guys right now, and I'll do it. I'll put it in the post as well. It is something else. Because it looks like an IMDb page, and it says, Steve Finley, himself, Arizona Diamondbacks center fielder. Eric Gagne has an IMDb page. What the heck? And he's holding an ESPY in it. In his picture.
Wow. I find it, that's interesting, because now I know that even if it doesn't have a picture, like, Carlos Baerga has an IMDb page. As himself, Arizona pinch hitter. Oh, and then also the 1995 American League Championship Series, himself, Cleveland Indians second baseman.
Ooh.
I guess it makes sense that they would have IMDb pages for these, but I never would have thought of it.
Oh my God, what the hell? He looks like he should be, like, the bass player in some terrible new metal band in the year 2000.
Oh man.
The great thing is, if you click on the, because it says up there, episode 306 of 558 episodes, click on that, it gives you the full season list, mm-hmm. And each one has an option, first game, Los Angeles Dodgers versus San Diego Padres. Option, add a plot.
Oh wow. If I was into IMDb vandalism.
Yeah, there would be some plot editing there.
Yes, Monty Grandal is on a new team, but he's worried that his lovers from his past might catch up to him. Some just generic soap opera plot.
Yeah, yeah. Sunday Night Baseball, skeletons.
I'd watch it.
Oh, wow. Someone is way too much into pedantry and record keeping on IMDb, and God bless them, because that is amazing.
Yeah. Wow, that's incredible.
How is there not some database on the internet that tracks when teams were on Sunday Night Baseball.
Well, there's IMDb.
That's so much work.
Going back through the seasons, it looks like the last time the Diamondbacks were on Sunday Night Baseball was 2008, again, versus the Dodgers.
Makes sense.
Starring Chris Burke as himself, as Arizona Diamondbacks' second baseman. Tony Clark himself, Arizona Diamondbacks' first baseman.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Is there a Chad Qual sighting, or...
I don't know. All I know is that I'm just looking at this. Connor Jackson is on there. And how Connor Jackson does not have a headshot on IMDb, I do not know. I am disappointed.
Right, because he's actually been in something.
Yeah. Joe Torre does, though. Mm-hmm. He was in this show as himself, Los Angeles Dodgers manager.
Of course. I'm sure he's the type of person who's made, like, who's made a guest appearance on some... I don't know.
Tassel.
Yeah. Okay. That works. That definitely fits.
Yeah.
But so thank you, based IMDb God, for that entertainment. Anything more to say about either of these teams that we're playing next week?
I do not know.
No. I mean, I guess if we had to choose, well, I don't know. I can't think of any Oakland-based beer, because obviously St. Louis would be known for Budweiser, and that shit's terrible.
Oh, yeah.
But I was going to say Anchor Steam Beer, but that's more San Francisco.
You live in the Oakland beer, but then you work in the San Francisco beer. That's what you do there nowadays, so I'm told.
I wouldn't know.
Yeah, that's apparently a thing. Mm-hmm. True story.
Apparently.
Mm-hmm. That happened.
Vaudevillian.
No, I think you manage a baseball team.
Yes, of course. Yes, I do manage a baseball team.
Well, I hear the players nowadays have rather strange nicknames, rather silly pet names the players have nowadays.
Yes, that's true. Oh, as a matter of fact, I have the team roster with me right here. For example, who is on first base, what is on second, and I don't know is on third base.
Who's on first?
Yes.
Who?
Yes. Who is the man on first base?
Why are you asking me? I'm asking you. What's the name of the guy on first base?
No. What is on... Oh, I see what your problem is. Look, you're confused by their names because they all sound like questions. Well, I'll explain it to you. You see, on first base is who? Samuel Who. And you're probably not used to that name because his grandfather was Chinese. And on second base is Hector Watt, W-A-T-T Watt. And that's not such an odd name because James Watt invented the steam engine. And on third base is Phil Idano, I-D-U-N-O, Idano. But if you say that fast, it does sound like the phrase, gee, I dunno. But it's actually Idano. Phil Idano.